The Holy Gospel according to John chapter 12, beginning with verse 20. This will be our sermon text this morning. Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we want to see Jesus." Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew came with Philip and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The time has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Amen, amen. I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it continues to be one kernel. But if it dies, it produces much grain. Anyone who loves his life destroys it. And the one who hates his life in this world will hold on to it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, this is the reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." A voice came from heaven. "I have glorified my name, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said it thundered. Others said an angel talked to him. Jesus answered, "This voice was not for my sake, but for yours. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be thrown out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate what kind of death he was going to die. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise be to you, O Christ.
Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. "I'm worth more to you dead." Have you ever made that joke? It has to be a joke if you say it. But maybe you're married and you got a life insurance policy and you say, "Hey, well, if I die, you get $500,000. I'm worth more to you dead." It's good if it's a joke, but you don't want anyone to say this seriously to you. Then you'd be very concerned. Except in the gospel reading for today, when Jesus basically says this, and he's serious about it. And in a way, then, he shows that our lives show this truth too. "I'm worth more to you dead." As we look through the gospel reading for today, we'll see what he meant, and we'll see what this means for us to say something like this. And why did Jesus say this? Well, it was in response to some people who came to see him. In John chapter 12, we were at a time of year that's very similar to this time of year for us. We're 1 week from Palm Sunday, or Passion Sunday. We're 2 weeks from Easter. We're right in the middle of it now. And that's where John chapter 12 is, except a little further along. It happens on probably the Tuesday of Holy Week. So Palm Sunday has just happened. And what was Holy Week all about then? Well, the Passover. Just like tons of people travel when it's time for the holidays, this was a time when everybody was traveling to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. Thousands of people coming, and when people get together, they start catching up. And so what were people catching up about here in John chapter 12? Well, what Jesus had been doing. We read about these Greeks. It says these Greeks came and asked about Jesus. Who are the Greeks? Well, non-Jews, people from outside of Israel, people who had come in. And what conversation had they been hearing? "Have you heard about Jesus? Yeah, he rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. There were palm branches. Kids were singing Alleluia." "Hey, no, don't get mixed up with Jesus. The rulers don't like him." "Well, yeah, of course they don't like him. He came into the temple and he threw the tables over." The Greeks hear all about Jesus, and then they come with this beautiful request. In John chapter 12, verse 21, they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we want to see Jesus." Like requesting an audience with someone famous, notice they don't go to Jesus directly. They go to someone else first. They go to Philip. Well, he's a disciple with a Greek name, so maybe they think, oh, he's got some Greek connections, we can talk to him. Philip and Andrew, also a Greek name, maybe we'll work through them and we can get to see the famous guy, we can get to see Jesus. And before we get to Jesus' response, let's just note really quick here that this is something that could still happen in our lives, that will happen in our lives. It's not like people wake up one day and go, oh, I'm going to go to church, even though I've never been before. It's not like people wake up and say, I'm going to start reading about Jesus in the Bible. It's usually not how it works. Usually, they come to somebody who knows Jesus. Someone like you. And maybe they've got a connection with you. Maybe you're not both Greek, but maybe, oh, you come from there? Hey, I come from there. Oh, you like shopping there? Oh, I love Aldi. All right, we've got a connection now. And you might be the person then that they can come to and say, hey, I want to see Jesus. It might not sound like that. It might be something like, oh, my life is so hard right now. Or, oh, what's this all about Easter coming up? And then you can show them Jesus. Just share the simple truth. Well, Jesus is the one who came into the world to save me from my sins. Or you can be like Philip and Andrew and say, well, come see him. Come to church with me. I'll come sit by you. Lots of opportunities for this next week, right? In Holy Week. Come to church with me. Come to Good Friday. You know what that's all about. Come to Easter. I'll sit by you. But now to Jesus' response. How does Jesus answer? We would like to see Jesus. Well, in response to their request, Jesus answered them, "The time has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Amen, amen, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it continues to be one kernel. But if it dies, it produces much grain." Wow. We were expecting something like, oh, Wednesday at 3 would be fine. Sir, we would like to see Jesus. And Jesus, it's like he hears this giant divine alarm clock go off. Bing, 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 bing. The time has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. We've been waiting for this. Through the Gospel of John, Jesus' first miracle, the wedding at Cana, he turns water into wine. Remember when Mary first came to him? Jesus, do something. What does Jesus say? My time has not yet come. Several times throughout the Gospel of John, people got mad at Jesus and they tried to kill him. But they couldn't because his time had not yet come. But now, when these out-of-towners, when these Greeks come and say, we want to see Jesus, boom! Now the time has come. Why? Well, think about Jesus' ministry. All according to the Father's will, his ministry mainly was to the lost sheep of Israel. The whole point was that for 3 years, yes, he would preach and teach and do miracles to draw attention to his teaching, and then at the end of that, he would be rejected by his own people. That was God's plan. He would be crucified. That was the whole point, so that he could then spread the gospel of salvation throughout the world. Well, now the time has come, right? People have heard about him. His reputation is spreading. People are coming from around the world saying, we want to know about this Jesus guy. And Jesus goes, okay then. I got to make sure when they come to see Jesus, they have something worth seeing. And what would make Jesus worth seeing? Not that he'd be some cool celebrity that everybody was talking about. No, it's that he would be glorified. And how would he be glorified? By dying. In other words, sir, we want to see Jesus. And Jesus says, wait a minute. I got something to do first. I'm worth more to you dead. Because Jesus explains he's like a seed. Amen, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it continues to be one kernel. But if it dies, it produces much grain. Jesus says, I'm like a seed. What's the point of a seed? Well, in a sense, to die, to cease to exist, right? So something else can grow. About 50 years ago, researchers were exploring Israel, and they found a jar of seeds. Ancient jar, ancient seeds. Whoa, cool. You know what they did with it? They put it in a drawer and forgot about it. We've never done things like that, have we? No, they put it in a drawer and forgot about it. But years later, decades later, somebody pulled it out and said, hey, why don't we try planting them? So they did. They took these seeds and they planted them, and to their surprise, they grew. According to their best guess, these seeds were 2,000 years old. Based on where they were found and the dating they did, 2,000 years old, and one of them grew into this little shoot, and then it got bigger, and then it got bigger, and it grew into a date palm that had been extinct for 1,500 years. Whoa! Isn't it a shame? The seed's gone now. Oh, we wish it was still just sitting in a drawer, safe and sound. No, of course not! What's the point of a seed? It's to be planted. It's to grow into something else. It's to bring life. And they nicknamed this tree Methuselah. What a wonderful thing for this seed to die so that new life could come. Jesus says, that's me. That's the whole point of my life. You want to see me? Watch this first. I'm going to die like a seed. But I know that that is going to produce such fruit, such life that's going to grow, so that when you come to see me, you can see God's glory. And what's the most glorious thing that Jesus would show in his death? It's God's grace. God's grace that would die for people to draw them to himself. That's the whole point of a seed, but that doesn't mean it's easy. Of course, for a seed's not going to talk back to you. Hey, don't kill me. Throw it into the ground. No. But Jesus knew what was coming. And this wasn't going to be as pleasant as being planted in nice soil and watered. Jesus knew what his death was all about. He was going to take our sin on himself. He was going to be tortured. He was going to be put to shame so that no one would even want to see him or look at him. And even Jesus was troubled by this, according to his humanity. We read, he said, now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. He could have said, God, put me back in the drawer. Keep me safe. Or let me stay alive like a celebrity. I'll go talk to the Greeks now. I'll go do a world tour. That'll be fun. But no. Jesus refuses. Should I say, Father, save me from this hour? No. This is the reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Jesus knew that his worth came from doing the Heavenly Father's will. And Father, if it's your will that I suffer and die to bring you glory, to show your grace, I'll do it. And that's exactly what happened. Jesus knew it would. In verse 32, he says, and I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. There's the fruit of Jesus' death. When I'm lifted up, when he dies on the cross, I will draw all people to myself. That God's grace would bring people to see Jesus, not just because they're curious about him, but because they need his grace and need his mercy and know they will find it there. He'll draw people to himself. And you see the fruit of this happening already on the cross. Remember, everybody's making fun of him. Even the two guys next to him. But then one thief on the cross, he sees Jesus. He sees his grace. And he turns to him and he says, can you remember me when you come into your kingdom? And Jesus says, today you will be with me in paradise. Wow. What fruit from his death? Eternal life for a criminal. And it didn't stop there. Jesus kept gathering people. Yes, even at the foot of his cross. Surely this was the Son of God. And then days later, when they were hidden away in a room, Jesus came and said, "Peace be with you. The tomb is empty." Ever since this moment, Jesus has been drawing people to himself. He's doing it today. We've come to Jesus today. Why? Because he's drawn us to himself with the Father's glorious grace. We would like to see Jesus. You are seeing him today in the way he wants to be seen, the most important way, in his grace. Jesus says, "This is how I'm worth something to you, through my death for you. Look at Christ crucified." And you're drawn to him again today as you come to the altar. What's there? Jesus' body and blood given into death to give you life so that you can grow like a branch from the vine and keep growing. And Jesus says that as we trust in him, this is the kind of faith he's going to give us also for our own lives. This is the kind of mindset he will give to us. I'm worth more dead. But what does he mean by that? Well, what does Jesus say next? Anyone who loves his life destroys it. And the one who hates his life in this world will hold on to it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. As we follow Jesus, in other words, he's calling us to a seed-like type of existence. What are we like apart from Jesus? What were we like before we knew him? Well, we were all about number one. All about ourselves. Jesus says, anyone who loves his own life, that's what we're like apart from Jesus. What are the kinds of questions that we ask when we're deciding what to do in life apart from him? Well, what do I want to do? What's going to make me happy? How can I look out for me? And you make decisions based on that, based on what you want to get out of life. It seems like you love your life, but Jesus says that kind of life actually destroys it. A life that's all about me, myself, and I is a selfish, sinful life, a destructive life that leaves you alone with me, myself, and I and your selfishness for all eternity. But Jesus says, that's not the life I've given you. Jesus died for our selfishness, and he gave us new life that has a different operating principle, a different mindset. The one who hates his life in this world will hold on to it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. In other words, your questions are entirely different. It's not what's in it for me anymore. It's what brings glory to God? How can I serve Jesus? In other words, my value comes from dying to myself and living for others. Your eternal value comes from Jesus, but my worth when it comes to other people, well, you think in a marriage. In a marriage, you're not saying what's in it for me. Instead, you're dying to yourself and saying, how can I serve Jesus? In life, when things happen, you don't say, well, what's in it for me? Or how is this ruining my plans or what I wanted to do? Instead, you say, how can this bring glory to God? How can I praise and glorify God even in this? You die to yourself, to what you might want, in order to hold on to the eternal life that God has given you. And that is what you hold on to. What does Jesus promise? When you lose your life for him, you don't lose anything. Because by his grace, what does Jesus say? If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. Where I am, there my servant will be. It might seem like you're losing everything when you live for Jesus, when you have to deny yourself ask for forgiveness from God, live for Him. But what does Jesus say? Where my servant is, there I will be also. A life of me, myself, and I will eventually leave you alone forever. But a life of faith in Jesus means that you are with your Savior. Not only does Christ live in you now, giving you strength to live for Him, but you will be with Jesus forever. He promises, where I am, you will also be. And you don't have to worry about getting what you can out of life, because what does Jesus say? If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. All the accolades, all the fulfillment you could ever need comes from outside of yourself, outside of your life. It comes from the Father who honors you and says, you are precious and chosen to me, and I have wonderful plans to show my glorious grace to you and through you. We're with Jesus. That's the mindset. It's the mindset of the Apostle Paul in Galatians 2:20. He says, I have been crucified with Christ, and Christ lives with me. So that the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. You're growing with Jesus. Kind of like the seeds from the Methuselah tree. About 10 years after that tree was planted, researchers came with an exciting announcement. This ancient tree, 2,000-year-old seed now finally growing, it had produced offspring. More seeds had fallen to the ground, more trees had grown, and now they had dreams of producing an entire grove of these ancient trees. Far more exciting than a 2,000-year-old seed growing to produce a few more trees is the seed that died for us 2,000 years ago to produce billions of people planted in the grove of God's grace. And that's where we are growing now. Happy to grow like Jesus, happy to look like Jesus, and to show through our lives the worth of the one who died for us. Amen. And the peace of God, which goes beyond all human understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.